that if you'd let it come out of your heart and through your mouth, it could set somebody free.
That's why these things are recorded, is so that we can learn through them.
Listen to the Holy Spirit. Ask Him. He'll show you.
Charis Bible College presents How to Teach with instructor Barry Bennett, session number 1.
All right, good morning. How's everybody? Praise God. Looking forward to this. It's going to be a blessing. This is the course, How to Teach, one of my favorite things. And hopefully you'll get inspired and get blessed. I know not all of us are called into the office of teacher, but we're going to find out that we're all called to be able to teach. And how we do that is very important. We are word creatures, if you will. And we're designed to respond to words. We're designed to respond to God's word. And how we respond to God's word and then how we're able to share that word with others is how we live. We live by words. All of us are receiving words. We hear words in the news. Some of you may be meditating on something you heard on the radio on your way up here. You're thinking about words. You're thinking about news. You're thinking about current events. You're thinking about things that are going on around you. And those things are arriving to you basically through words. There may be pictures involved, but basically everything that you are dealing with in your life in some way, shape, or form have been reduced to words, either words that you've heard or words that you've read. And that's how God designed us, to be word creatures. And so as we study and as we look at this subject of how to teach, we need to realize the importance of this, that teaching is how God has enabled us to transmit His words from His heart through our hearts to other hearts to help set them free. Amen? And so we're here to help see people get transformed. We want to be transformed. It's an ongoing, continuing process. And we want to be agents of transformation for other people. So teaching is huge. Living your life as an example is huge. Other things can be big in life. But words really are the principal thing, because what cometh by hearing? Faith comes by hearing. And things that you share in other people's lives can create faith in their hearts. Though it's you, your voice, it's your intellect, it's your choice of vocabulary, nonetheless, it's God's word. And it finds a place in someone's heart, and faith is born, and their lives can be transformed. And so teaching is a major, major ministry. It's my favorite, obviously. And hopefully we're going to look in these first few lessons on certain general aspects of teaching, and then we're going to move into how to actually teach and how to make a message and that kind of thing. So let's start off in, if you have your syllabus, and some of these verses I already have printed out. I won't take the time to turn. Hopefully you will. Some verses I will turn with you in the Bible, but just for sake of time, I've got some of them printed. But I begin with a quote by Ralph Waldo Emerson. Speech is power. Speech is to persuade, to convert, to compel. Speech is power. Words are power. Now, that's written by a secular person, but we know the power of words. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Let's look at Jesus' example in Mark 6:34. What was his example? And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. He began to teach them. He had compassion, and compassion moved him to teach. I don't know how many in here may have worked in the phone center, but I started in the phone center 7 years ago. And I worked on the phones for 4 months, and as people would call in, though we had certain restrictions at that time, we had a number of minutes that we could allot to each person, and we had certain parameters on what we could and could not share. But the heart of a teacher was in me, and when people would call in, I knew you don't really need a prayer, you need teaching. You need to be taught, because the mistakes you're making, it's not God's fault and it's not someone else's fault, all the things that are happening in your life, it's really your ignorance, it's your lack of knowledge. Ignorance is not a good word to use many times. It's your lack of knowledge in how life works and how the principles of God work. And so what you need is teaching. And I would do what little I could on the phone, but for a teacher, You know, and you have someone calling in with questions, you want to get the word into them. You want to share these things that you know that God has shown you. And so this is why our ministry is so important. People have questions, and I know I've gone over this many times in other classes, but one of the key ways to minister to people is to answer their questions. People will go through life and they'll go through 30 years of church life and church experience with the same questions that never get answered because the pastor doesn't even know. He hasn't taken time to study these things out. Teaching is the capacity to share and to answer people's questions. That would be one way to define it. Helping people have revelation, to have understanding. These are the things that set people free. It says the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And that's what the teacher is trying to accomplish, to perform a task in which the word is transmitted in a way that's understandable and it sets people free. So Jesus had compassion and he taught them. He taught them, it says, many things. Let's go on to letter B, Matthew 28:19-20. I won't look it up, but it says, teach them. It's the Great Commission. Jesus says, teach them. Go ye into all the world and teach them my words. Teach them what I've taught you. So this is not a one-time thing. This is an ongoing, continual thing that Jesus is wanting his word to be taught. And then if we move on to letter C, Acts 5:42, we see the example of the early church. It says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. Teaching and preaching. So the early church carries that banner, and they begin to teach and to preach and to carry the word and to share the word, and people get set free. How many of you have been set free by hearing the word of God? I mean, we can hear directly from God, but many times we're hearing directly from God through a person, and the Lord speaks to us. And I don't know how many times, countless times, I've been sitting listening to someone teach, and I may already know the subject. I may teach it myself, and yet through that person's words, a word will come from God. And I'll get a revelation, I'll get an inspiration, or something will break, and I will say, oh, I knew that, but now I know that. How does that happen? Teaching. Something is coming through the containers, the word containers that God has given us to set people free. Let's go to Acts 26. Acts 26, we're going to look at Paul's call, when Jesus calls him. And he's rehearsing this, And Jesus asked, why is he persecuting him? And he says, who are you, Lord? In verse 16, Acts 26:16 says, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. I have a purpose for you, Paul. God has a purpose for each one of you. You're in this ministry track. And there's a purpose for you, and it's going to be different. We're all unique. But being able to share God's word in a way that's relevant is part of that purpose. I don't care what your purpose is, that's going to be part of it. I have a purpose for you, to make you a minister and a witness, both of these things which you have seen and those things in which I will appear unto you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send you, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Now think about this in the context of this particular course. We're talking about teaching. How is he going to do that? Has anyone ever heard of the epistles of Paul? Romans and Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians, Colossians and Thessalonians and Timothy. All right. How is he going to do what Jesus is calling him to do? It says to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And so Paul's purpose or Paul's call is to deliver people by means of words. Words have to be shared. Words have to be imparted. Words have to be filled with the revelation of God and given to other people. And turn the page. Well, I have to turn the page. I don't know. But in verse 28 of the same chapter, Agrippa said to Paul, Paul was telling him about this call from Jesus, and Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Or in other words, Paul was having impact just going through his testimony. And it was having impact on Agrippa. This was Paul's call to teach. It says he's to open their eyes, to free the oppressed. This is what happens. This is why I love teaching. This is what gives me passion, because you can see when people, I don't want to fall off here, but you can see they built this for me so I would have more height, right? Okay, I needed the height. But the blessing in teaching is when you share with people and you can see their eyes light up and you can see them get it, and people come up to me all the time and that just blessed me so much. And that man, that's my salary. That's what blesses me, is to see people get set free. And that happens by just imparting words that have revelation in them. And it opens their eyes. It frees the oppressed. It explains the realities of redemption. Reveals who Christ is in them. How many of you have learned from Andrew who Christ is in you, who you are in Christ? Amen. All the things that we've learned. To teach the principles of the kingdom of God. How does the kingdom work? How many remember last year? Laws of the kingdom. A couple of you. Great. Okay. So those are principles. That's teaching to help you live a victorious life and then be able to impart that to other people. Praise God. All right. Let's go on to letter E, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 19. We're going to look at Paul's focus. First, we looked at Paul's commission. Now let's look at Paul's focus, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 19. It says, yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. In other words, he's not putting down tongues. He says, I would that you all speak in tongues, but in the church meeting, I want to speak with understanding. Why? Because that's going to set you free. That's going to deliver you from darkness to light. That's going to show you your inheritance in Christ. That's going to fulfill the purpose that Jesus put on him. I want to teach. I want to say five words with my understanding. Much of modern ministry, and I'm not trying to put down ministry here. I just want us to be able to delineate and understand how ministry works. But a lot of modern ministry is directed towards your soul. And it's all about the environment, and it's all about the lighting, and it's all about the special effects and the smoke rising from the thing, and you know, and everything is really cool. And I'm not against any of that, as long as there is a spiritual component in the modern church and in the modern ministry that is directed toward your spirit, man, not just toward your flesh and your soul. When we minister, words, by definition, are spiritual in nature. This life and death are in them. Now, I know they impact other parts of us as well, but the capacity to be spiritual exists in words. And so when we minister, it shouldn't be just about making people feel good, but rather setting them free, which I hope I can make a distinction here. It's not just about soothing you and patting you on the back and telling you Jesus loves you and everything will be all right, but how will it be all right? How do I know He loves me? How can you help me in this? Well, just come back next Sunday and we're going to have a really neat show next Sunday. You know, and again, I'm not anti-church. I love church. I'm just saying we need to be sure that what we're offering isn't only that, the lights and the music, but it's also spirit. My words, Jesus said, are what? Spirit and life. And so we need to be teaching words that are spirit, that go down into the depths of people's hearts and doesn't just soothe them for a week, but sets them free and delivers them from darkness to light. Amen? So Paul is saying he would rather speak five words with his understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2:2. This is Paul's command to Timothy. So we saw his commission, and then we see his focus. And now we'll look at what he commanded Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "In the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Well, Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and teach them my words." And Paul is saying the same thing. Find faithful men that can teach others. Or let's keep this thing going. And we are a result of that. We're a product of that which was started when Jesus gave the commission to the disciples. And these words have been transmitted to us over centuries. So that's Paul's command. And Jesus is very emphatic. We are to teach these words, and then he calls Paul and says, this is your purpose. And then Paul says, I'd rather speak with things you can understand than speak in tongues in church. And then he says, Timothy, find faithful people that can teach what I've given you, that you can keep repeating this. Let's go to Hebrews 5:12. Hebrews 5:12. The author of Hebrews says, For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. Or the author of Hebrews is saying, hey, by now you guys should be able to teach. You've been in this way for X number of years. You should be able to teach. Why do I have to keep teaching you over and over the first principles of God? And I thought about that, and I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. Can you stand up right now and do 10 minutes without notes on righteousness and turn to scriptures? Can you do 10 minutes on healing without notes and turn to scriptures? Can you do 10 minutes on the power of prayer? Can you do 10 minutes on faith? Can you stand up and start answering questions and have at least 10 minutes of material without preparation, so to speak, without night before preparation? Can you do that? You need to be able to do that. You're third year students. I'm not getting much here. Do you see what I'm saying? That after 2 years of school, now you're in your third year, you should be able to lead people to the Lord. Can you lead someone to the Lord? Yeah. Do you have scripture? And I mean, can you flip open anybody's Bible, not just your Bible? Can you flip open a Bible and find something in it and teach for 10 minutes? See, I want to challenge you in that. I want you to think in those terms. Can you do it? Can you be called on right now to stand up and explain holiness? And you have scriptures. Wow. Okay. Is anybody getting challenged? Yes. All right. Okay. That's what we're about. See, we're ministers. This is the ministry track. Am I in the right place? Okay. We're ministers. You need to be able to minister. It's not always with fanfare and preparation and lights and cameras. That's not always it. Sometimes it's one-on-one and it's spontaneous and you weren't even thinking about it. But because this thing is part of you, you're able to share. Last week or a couple of weeks ago, I was invited to meet with three pastors of the area, and they wanted to discuss potential theological differences they may have with our ministry here. And as it turned out, we found quite a few differences that we had. But I sat there, I took my Bible, but it was amazing. I sat there for an hour and a half with those three guys coming at me with all kinds of stuff. And I quoted scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. It surprised me. And I never even cracked open my Bible. And it was, you know, it was very cordial. We were able to share. Nobody was against each other. You know, it was none of that. We have severe theological differences, but I was able to teach. I was able to impart. I was able to share. And whether they bought it or not, I don't know. But I was able to sow seed, and I didn't even have to open my Bible. I just could quote it. See, that's where you need to be. And I'm not saying I could have stood up if they would have let me and done an hour and a half with them of just sharing from the Word. But can you do that? Can you do that? Can you stand up and just start teaching? Praise God. All right. Let's go to Roman numeral 2, the goal of teaching. The goal of teaching. You may see this again at the end of the term here. Okay, to cause the listener to learn and be transformed by the renewing of the mind, to cause the listener to learn. That's very important, is that many times in teaching, you get into a routine where you're just trying to deliver the material. That's not what we're about, just delivering the material. A teacher should be interested in causing you to learn. Now, some of you, we're going to look at in a moment at why you may not be learning, but that's my goal, to cause you to learn. And so in order to do that, a teacher has to control the environment. A teacher has to dominate the environment, the room, take control, take charge, and be interesting enough to cause you to learn and be transformed by the renewing of the mind, which you can find in Romans 12, too. We won't turn there, but turn with me to Matthew 13:19. Matthew 13:19. I always have extra scriptures that are not in the syllabus because these courses grow every year. Matthew 13:19, parable of the sower, says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. Or it made it to his heart, but he didn't understand it. And see, that's the goal of teaching, is to cause them to learn, to cause them to understand. And we're going to look at a lot of different ways we can do that as we go through this week. But when they understand it not, what you've done is you've delivered the material, but you haven't caused them to learn. And that's where we all need to grow. I need to grow. Everybody needs to grow in that area of helping people understand it and not just hear it. Praise God. Amen. We are to, and I may have shared this with you in years past, but we are to inform, to illumine, to inspire, and to infuriate. Teaching will do that. It will inform, it will illumine, it will inspire, and it will infuriate. I get any amens? All right. What about when Paul was in Ephesus and the great god Diana, and he was preaching, and there was a riot in the city because of his teaching? And there were repercussions, and he had to run for his life and all these things. Why? Because teaching will stir people up. You start standing for truth, an uncompromising stand for truth, and you're going to stir people up. You may inspire some people. You may infuriate other people, and maybe in the same room. Teaching does this. But you know what? Infuriated people make an effort to try and prove you wrong. And when they're trying to prove you wrong, they're studying. You've caused them to learn. Amen. Now, they may or may not agree with you, and they may get more solidified in their own position, but at least you instigated something in them as a teacher. Now, I don't teach to try to make people mad, but sometimes people get mad because you're attacking something that they have held dear all their lives. And yet it's a bondage. It's a fortress. What do we call it? A stronghold. I almost said it, fortaleza. It's a stronghold in your mind. And so teaching is going to be tearing down strongholds, and some of those strongholds are idols that people have. And so this is what we do. So teaching is going to stir these things up. Okay, let's go on to Roman numeral 2. Roman numeral 2, what are the voices that we hear? In 1 Corinthians 14:10, you don't need to turn, but you can jot it down. 1 Corinthians 14:10 says there are many kinds of voices in the world, and each one has significance. There are many kinds of voices. So I'm going to kind of launch off from that, maybe not use it exactly in its context. But there are voices that people hear. What I want to do right now in this section is talk to you about the challenges that a teacher faces when having a room full of people in front of him. What are the challenges? And what I'm going to hopefully show you is that people come into a teaching environment as a listener, and they all come with different filters. They've been hearing different voices. And how they receive you and how they perceive you and whether or not they receive you and whether or not they understand many times has a lot to do with the filters that exist in them. Either chronic filters that have been built up over years or filters of the moment that just their dog died this morning and they come in and they're just crying and all that. Well, that's a filter that is going to filter what they're hearing from you. I don't know how many have ever had a chance to share and to teach or to preach or what have you. And I've had people come up to me weeks, months, sometimes even years later and quote to me what they got from my message. And I know I never said that. I never said that. I don't even use that language. I know I didn't say that, but that's what they heard. Because what they heard was being filtered through their particular needs of the moment or from the chronic lifestyle that they had lived, the strongholds in their minds. What I was saying, what I was thinking, I was trying to impart is going through this maze of filters. And by the time it gets to something that they can understand, it isn't what I said. And sometimes it may be exactly the opposite of what I said. But that's how it got filtered. So as a teacher, we have a challenge to understand people. We have to understand people and where they're coming from and what these different filters or voices may be that they're listening to. And that's why our ministry has to be spiritual, because the Spirit can cut through that stuff like a knife. If they will allow it, they can harden their hearts, but hopefully not. But if they will allow it, the Spirit will cut through these filters and tear down these strongholds. We've all had strongholds. We've all had wrong belief systems at some point in some way that the Word has torn down. How? Through either reading or hearing. Words did it. Words set you free. And so we need to understand that these filters exist in people, and we need to understand that when we walk into a room, they're not all on the same level, and they're not all there because they want to be there, and they're not all thinking about you, and they're not all thinking about what you're saying. They may be there because they have to be there, and they may be thinking and writing and doing something else entirely. But what's the definition of teaching? To cause the listeners to learn. So we're going to look at some methods to do that as we move through this, but you need to understand that there are different filters or different voices. So what's the first filter? Letter A, the flesh. The flesh. What if somebody came in here this morning with only 2 hours of sleep? What if somebody didn't have time to eat breakfast? What if somebody had some kind of a relationship issue, and that might move into the next one, the soul, but they had a fight with their spouse or something? Well, when they walk in the room and sit down, they're thinking, man, am I sleepy. I hope I can just doze off a little bit and he won't notice. Or, man, am I hungry. What time is break? And I wonder what they've got up there. I want one of those big rolls. And so that's what they're thinking about. So that's the filter I'm trying to get through. The hunger filter, the lack of sleep filter. All right? What are we doing today at 12? And I've got 3 or 4 guys, and we're going to go off-roading at 12. And we're going to go here, and we're going to go there, and we're going to go by that. And they're thinking, they're already imagining the future. And that's a filter I've got to try and break through. See, are you getting this?
Yeah.
All right? This is the challenge of teaching, to realize people walked in the room, each one with a different set of filters. And somehow the teacher has got to control that environment and break through those filters and get everybody's attention. And folks, I'll tell you, sometimes it's not easy. Now, in a room this size, I can pretty much keep all of you on track with me. In that room upstairs, it's a different story. Because people can sit in the back and they look like hobbits. I mean, they are so small, you know. I can't even tell who's back there. And I've heard stories of people live streaming movies in the back while somebody's teaching, you know, or listening to music or whatever. See, what's happened is we're not causing them to learn. We're delivering material. And it may be, and we may be trying to cause them to learn, but some people just tune you out. That's their filter. Their filter is brick wall for today. And you're not going to get through it. All right, so these are the flesh filters. I have a verse here from Jude 1, verse 10. It says, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves. And I'm just to kind of help us understand, some people live on the animal level. And that's their filter. And they're thinking about sex. A lot of people are thinking about sex all day. I mean, that's the stronghold in their mind. Well, that's going to filter what they hear. And anything that isn't conducive to that thought being allowed to stay is going to be rejected. And so a lot of things are going to be rejected because, no, that's messing with my stronghold, and I love my stronghold. And so don't mess with my stronghold. These are things that people choose to live on certain levels of life. So some people choose to live on a flesh level, and that's the filter you're going to have to deal with. Let's go on to letter B, the soul. The soul. Our reason and our emotions. These are different filters. Let's turn to Proverbs 3. I'll turn there with you. Proverbs 3. Anybody getting blessed yet? Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Your own understanding is a filter. Just as I said, the flesh is a filter. Your own understanding, or that which your belief system, that which you live by, that which your parents taught you, or that which you learned in school, or you learned on the streets, or this is how life is and this is how life works, that's a filter, or that can be a brick wall sometimes, and the teacher has got to cut through that with the Word of God and be able to cause the listener to hear, at the very least hear, and hopefully to learn, to understand that stronghold could be torn down. So many times your own understanding is a huge block to truth. Now, that's not that we've always done it this way, and that's the way we do it. And this is, you know, this is the way my family taught me. This is what my dad taught me. These are the things that he taught me were right and wrong, and I'm sticking with that. Well, that's a filter. And so we get people from different backgrounds and different cultures and different ways of doing things. And we have international students come in that our way of doing things is completely unnatural and foreign to them. And I know I was the international person for 12 years in another country. And I had to recalibrate my filter system. You know, this is all different. And so those things, and when I was teaching as a pastor in a foreign country in Chile, and I'm teaching in a second language, it's not my language, so I'm already limited, and then I'm teaching in a culture I'm not familiar with, and I think I'm doing a good job, but everything is really being filtered because I'm coming from a different culture. I'm coming from a different background. I'm coming with a different language. I'm making up words as I go in Spanish, you know. And so all of these things are being filtered by them. Nonetheless, we had success because God's grace is sufficient, and there was enough spiritual stuff in there that it was able to break through a lot of those filters. Love is a huge filter breaker. If you love people, amen, love covers a multitude of filters. Yeah. So, all right. So you can help people by just loving them and caring for them, and that's gonna open them up for them to hear the word. And we'll talk about that next hour. Praise God. Animals live by instinct, but man can reason. When emotions dominate reason, we become enslaved. We talked about the flesh and people living like brute beasts in the 5 minutes ago here. But people, when they live by their emotions, they become enslaved, and they begin to lose the capacity to reason because they're living. And I know people, and I know mature Christians. I will say mature Christians, so to speak, will say many years in the Lord, and they're extremely emotional. And it's like walking up to a car. Back in the 90s in Chile, all the car alarm thing was new, and everybody was putting alarms on their cars. And we had one guy in our church, and his car was just like him. It was so sensitive, you know? And you couldn't get within a foot of his car, and it was the same way with him. I used this as an example with the elders when I said, Edmundo's car is just like Edmundo. I mean, you just get that close to him on some issue, and he just, and people are like that. They live on this emotional level. And you can't, and I'm wondering, how do you live like that? Man, you need to learn to live by the Spirit and draw on the Spirit of God and mortify the flesh and get your emotions. Let the fruit of the Spirit come out. And I see people that have 20 or 30 years in the Lord, and they're still with the car alarm thing. And there's, you know, it's just like, whoa. Well, that's a filter. And they're hearing you. They're filtering what you're saying through their emotional state of the moment. I'm happy today. I'm not happy today. Don't get near me today. I'm going through stuff today. You just don't even want to be near me today. I haven't had my second cup of coffee. I think, how childish, how silly. But that, yet, when you have a room full of people come and sit in front of you, you're dealing with people that haven't had their second cup of coffee, or their dog bit them, or their dog chewed up their shoe, or there's been some fight with the wife, and all of these things are going on the emotional level, and so they have all these filters in front of them, and you're trying to break through that as a teacher and help set them free. See, that's the challenge. Is anybody getting excited about teaching? You know, I mean, I love this. I love this because I'm aware of these things. I'm trying to make you aware of this. This is the challenge. This is what we have in front of us, because Jesus told us to do it. And it says he had compassion on the people, remember? And he did what? He taught them many things. And they were people like we are people. And they were going through the same stuff. And yet he taught them many things. And then he tells Paul, this is my purpose for you, to deliver them from darkness to light. How is he going to do it? He's going to have to teach them many things. He's going to have to teach them. So it's not an impossible task. I just want you to be aware of what the task is and what you're coming up against. All right, so we have soulish stuff. Let's go on to the world, letter C. Letter C, this is another filter, the world, circumstances, people, pressures, culture, politics, media. What in the parable of the sower, what did Jesus say? What chokes out the word? Cares of this world. See, there's another filter, and I've kind of already been messing with that in the last section here, but the world, the news. See, I spend very little time on the news. Why? Because that's going to contaminate. It's going to put worry or fear or concern or even just take time away from my focus. It's not that I'm unaware of what's going on. I just have to glance at the headlines. And I say, okay, it's gotten worse, and I move on. You know, I don't have time for that. Why? Because God has a purpose in my life. And that purpose doesn't allow me time to contaminate myself with the fear and the worry and to have my own filters that I'm trying to teach through. I can't have filters to teach through to get through your filters. So I've got to make sure mine are down. And I can't let, my wife and I don't fight, praise God, I have the best wife in the world, but if I were to have a disagreement with my wife, I can't bring that in here, all right, and try to teach through my filter to get to you through your filter. That isn't going to work. And so a teacher has got to be focused. A teacher has got to be given to this. Many of you follow me on Facebook. What do you think I do when I'm not teaching? I'm writing. Anybody notice that? Okay, every morning, 5 a.m., a new post comes up on my Public Figure Facebook page. I write those days in advance, and I just line them up. Every morning, 5 a.m., they pop up. That's what I do over the summer because I'm not teaching over the summer. I got to do something. I can't just sit there. And so I study and I write and I write and I study, and it keeps me alive and it keeps me focused. And so it's becoming a challenge because every day is a new day and I have to have a post up. It's become a challenge for me to do that. But it keeps me going. I like to challenge myself in that way. Why? Because I don't want any filters in my life. Do I have fun? Yeah, I watched a little football last night. I do things. I'm a guy. But I don't let those become filters that I have to try to get through. I want those down so that I can get through your filters. Are you kind of following me here? So we have circumstances, people, just the pressures of life. Economic pressures are a filter. Tuition pressures are a filter. You're going to hear me through, why is he kicking me out of school? You know, that's going to be your filter. You know, dress code, why do we have to dress this way? That's a filter. You know, dean of students, big mean guy, that's a filter. All these things are things that people will turn you off because of circumstances, because of the pressures of the world. Praise God. So we have long-term filters, which could be culture, family, things that have been built into you. Is anybody, as I'm teaching, is anybody thinking about what their filters may be? And realizing, you know, maybe this, Scripture calls them strongholds. But something that is might be blocking you from hearing what the Word of God is saying. All right? There's long-term filters and there are short-term filters. Feelings, emotions, circumstances. So each day someone may come in with a different set of short-term filters. And their first set of filters, yesterday their filters was my husband yelled at me, and today the filter is my dog chewed up my shoe. All right? So they're thinking about that. See, when I say filter, what I'm saying is they're thinking about that. They're dwelling on that. They're looking for a solution to that. They're thinking how they're going to respond to that, and they're not listening to you. Or if they're listening to you, they're only hearing bits and pieces, maybe every other word. And so then they put that together, and they say, Barry said, and I didn't say that. But that's what filtered through. So the teacher has got to learn how to keep the room on the same page, alive, focused, and listening with as much capacity as possible, breaking down those filters. So we have the voice of the Spirit. The voice of the Spirit, letter D. And because of time, I'm not going to look up each one of these, but this is another voice that is out there. Romans 8:16, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Praise God. So that's the voice we need to be listening to. When a teacher is teaching, can you hear the Spirit of God? And the Spirit of God may quicken something to you, and the teacher may keep on teaching, but you're stuck. You just heard from God. Has this happened to anyone? It happens to me a lot. Teacher keeps on going, and I'm still listening, but the Spirit of God just did something in me. Just tore down a filter, just broke through, just set me free in something. The Spirit bears witness. Proverbs 20:27 says, the Spirit is the lamp of the Lord. See, that's the goal of the teacher, is to break through your filters to allow the Spirit of God to get in there and be the lamp of the Lord and reveal things to you. 1 Corinthians 2:11 and 12, the Spirit reveals the things of God. Natural man doesn't understand. 1 Corinthians 2 is a tremendous chapter, but the natural man doesn't grasp the things. The natural man is the man with many filters. Doesn't understand the things of God, but the Spirit reveals the things of God. Acts 13:2, the Spirit speaks and directs. Acts 16:5 through 10, the Spirit leads and guides. See, the teacher isn't wanting just to impart information, but to bring revelation or to package words in such a way as that they break through the filters and barriers and strongholds that people have and can, by the Spirit of God, bring life to an area of your life, revelation that will set you free. And then you, because that now has become a part of you, you can impart that to someone else. And you may not even use the same words because it's going to be something personal, something that's happened in you by being taught. The listeners will hear you based on their condition and need. The listeners will hear you based on their condition and need. How many of you have walked, now I'm not asking for a show of hands here, but you've walked into a certain class with a certain teacher and say, I really don't need this today, but I've got to be here. So you've already set your expectation level. We'll talk about that in a later class. See, and you filtered. You've already filtered. In a sense, you've put yourself at a deficit. I don't need this. I already know this. Or this isn't my style of teaching, and I just don't get anything out of it. Okay, you've put yourself at a deficit because you're not allowing the Spirit of God. You've erected right there on the spot a filter. And so now the Spirit of God is looking for a way to get through that one. Okay, the listener will hear you based on their condition and need. Roman numeral 3. And I'm going to have to... I've been talking too much. I got lots of stuff here. So let's go. 5 results of sin in the human race. As a teacher, you need to know who we're teaching. We're teaching people that have been, we'll say, what's the word I want? Highly damaged through sin. Damaged through sin. So the teacher needs to be aware of what the audience is going through. What has sin done to people? All right, so let's just run through these, and you'll have to look up the verses at home. But fear. People live in fear. A teacher needs to be aware that half his audience is probably fearful in some way, shape, or form. They're dealing with fear. Fear is an internal situation in the context in which I'm teaching it right now. Fear of death, fear of life. Some people fear death. Some people fear life. They don't want to live. They don't want to get out and do anything. They're afraid. And we have some verses here that talk about fear. But fear is the excessive preoccupation with oneself. It's focus on self rather than focus on God. And people, see, as a teacher, you need to realize, and I see this, whenever I write a post on fear, I get tons of responses. Just like when I write a post on healing, tons of responses. Why? Because those are areas where, those are the filters people are dealing with. Circumstances, healing, physical issues, fear. Fear is huge. People live in fear more than you realize. Oppression. Oppression is another result of sin. People are oppressed, which is the enemy using fear as a weapon against you. When the enemy uses fear as a weapon against you, that's oppression. It's not only internal, but it's external, and you see everything as a potential disaster. There is a difference between managing fear, and being free from fear. We're not just trying to manage people's fears. We're trying to set them free, to deliver them from the power of fear. All right, what's another effect of sin? Ignorance of God. Lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. People make mistakes all the time, and I'm thinking, oh, please don't do that. Please don't do that. Because looking from my perspective, I've done that. Or I've known people who have done that. Don't do that. And yet people will do these things, and this is where the teaching desire is birthed in one. And you want to say, let me share some nuggets of wisdom with you. Let me help give you some orientation here. Lack of knowledge of God, that gives birth to superstition and religion. These are filters. These are things that people are dealing with. Lack of knowledge, number two, of life's principles. And we talked about that in Laws of the Kingdom last year, how the kingdom works. All right, letter D, loss of purpose. What has sin done to people? They've lost purpose. They don't know who they are. They don't know why they're on this earth. They either become egocentric or they become codependent. You know, it's all about me, or I need you to survive. One of the two. And so a teacher is dealing with people in these situations. Some of you may be in some of these situations that I'm listing today. If they're codependent, they become a victim. They're needy. They're incapable. They can't do anything. They don't realize who they are in Christ. And so teaching is what's going to set them free. That's why I magnify my gift. That's what I'm doing right now. Is the importance of teaching to set people free from these things. Loss of purpose, ignorance. What was the first one? Fear, oppression. These are the things that sin has done to the human race. And finally, sin consciousness. Letter E, sin consciousness. People are so conscious of guilt, of condemnation. And how does that manifest? Through fear, superstitions, a critical spirit. When you're dealing with people that criticize all the time, you know you're dealing with sin consciousness, because they're not happy in themselves. They're dealing with guilt. Unworthiness, weakness, religious works, legalism, bad doctrine, false repentance. Each one of these could be a message. This is sin consciousness. This is what people are dealing with. So as a teacher, you've got to be aware of this. And as you prepare messages, you pray, Father, give me words that can deal with the different conditions of man that they're dealing with. Symptoms of sin consciousness, number two, fear of sickness, fear of losing a job, fear of the dark, fear of driving, fear of leaving the house, fear of failure, of fear of success, because success brings more responsibility. There are people that don't want to succeed. Fear of speaking in public, fear of heights, fear of flying, fear of crowded places, small spaces, fear of marriage. All of these things are the impact of sin on the human race. So we have fear, we have oppression, we have ignorance. These are things that, as a teacher, we're dealing with. And so when the people walk into the room, you've got to realize, okay, there's all these filters, all these strongholds, and there's all these effects of sin. And as a teacher, my purpose is to deliver them from darkness into light, and to set them free, and to show them their inheritance in Christ. That's my job as a teacher. I love my job. And see, as we grow in this, you start to see people get set free, and it's like, man, this is the best thing on earth. I'd rather do this than go to Disney World, which I did this summer, and I was right. This is more fun. All right? Praise God. So sin left man focused on himself rather than on God, and the teacher is here to present spirit and life to get people focused on God, get those strongholds out of the way, get them set free. And praise God, that's the goal of teaching. That's why we teach. Amen? Amen. All right, praise God.